Maybe we'll read the Tesis line by line. Chesamad Aleph. Shalibna Ba'ur. Again, what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is discussing a topic. I have a sakin from a church. Bizman HaTanoim, Bizman HaAmaroim, that was used to chef many trefa animals to make nevelos. And it probably was used for years. It has a din of Mishamshi Avodah Zarah and Atzah Sabhanor, but it also has full of trefas. So if you're gonna shech the kosher behema with it, isn't all the trefa gook on the life going to get onto the neck of the animal? Okay, the rest of the animal will be kosher, but won't the neck be treif? So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case that they kashed the knife. Shalibna ba'ur, they kashed the knife by using fire ur. So Tosfos starts off, Hodis nam sof Maseches Avodah Zarah. Sakin, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah says, if you have a treif knife, you stick it in the ground 10 times and it becomes kosher. A lot of Europeans think mistakenly. Instead of sticking it 10 times, they stick it in the ground, they leave it there for a couple of days, and they assume miraculously the knife becomes kosher. What is that all about? You stick it in the ground. So that's utterly ridiculous. Stick it in the ground, you leave it for a week, it doesn't become kosher. You stick it in the ground 10 times, how does it become kosher? Sakin, if you have a tray for a knife, shofa bikarka vihi tahoira, you have ne'itzes upon him. How is that good? The sagim and itza bekarke as a pomer v'la boi libun. The Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah doesn't say you have to kasher it. So Tosfos says it depends what you plan to use it for. Hainu lachtach botzainen. If you want to cut an apple, if you want to cut something cold, so there isn't going to be, there's no problem of a trefa blia going from the knife into the apple. Everything is cold. There's only a blia. There is a blia b'tzainan, we were discussing yesterday, there is a blia b'tzainan in 2 cases, kovish kemevushal, if there's a liquid and the thing is soaking for 24 hours, we mentioned the Beis Yosef, of course, 3 opinions, kovish kemevushal is in 12 hours, or in 24 hours, or in 72 hours. So the 72 hours we don't accept at all, because the Gemara says later in Chulin, itara le kuli yoyme b'chelva, the Gemara talks of soaking kuli yoyme. The only 2 opinions that is what to discuss kuli yoyme means the daytime part of the day, which is on approximately 12 hours, or kuli yoyme means all day long, 24 hours. So we pass on 24 hours. Kavish kemevushal is 24 hours if it's a liquid. If it's a solid, it's not. The din is that an esrig kamevushal is pasul. If the esrig is cooked, you can't use it for the mitzvah. And if you have an esrig that's soaking in liquid, also kavish kemevushal, also pasul for the mitzvah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he lived under the communists, they all had a problem when they lived under the communists, didn't want them to keep any mitzvahs. So the communists, the Jewish communists, the Goyish communists, they were harassing everybody as far as mitzvahs are concerned. So Rav Moshe was lucky, 1 year he got an esrig, so he preserved it from year to year by keeping it in a jar of honey. Honey will preserve things. So that's not called kovish kemevushal because honey doesn't pour like a liquid. Honey is very thick. It's only called kovish kemevushal if it's liquidy, if it pours like water, like wine, like apple juice, something like that. That's kovish kemevushal. So there are 2 cases of blia b'tzainin. You have kovish kemevushal if it's soaking for 24 hours. Or there's another case of maliach kereser. If you have kosher piece of fish touching a trefa, non-kosher piece of fish, a kosher piece of meat touching the nevela meat, and you have an awful lot of salt in between, not a little salt that it should taste delicious, some salt, and a nechem achmas malcha, it's too much, too salty, it's going to burn your tongue. So then you say there's a blia, if it's not a blia in half a second, if it sits long enough, we'll have to learn the Gemara's later. If it sits long enough with the salt in between the kosher piece of fish and the trefa piece, the non-kosher fish, then it'll give a blia. But usually a blia is only bechamen. Bechamen means yatzoledes. So that's what Tosfos says over here. If you want to use the trefa knife to shecht an animal, and you're concerned that the neck of the animal, when you shecht an animal, so all the blood gushes out by the neck, so the neck is going to be hotter than normally. The body temperature of a human being is 98 point something, whatever it is. The body temperature of each animal is a little different. When you shecht it, it gets 10 degrees higher than normally. But so the Gemara has a shaila whether beis hashchita, the neck where you're going to shech, should be assumed beis hashchita is tzoinen. It means it's below the point of yatzaleres. A beis hashchita reseach means it's above the point of yatzaleres. Yatzaleres is somewhere over there, somewhere after 100 degrees Fahrenheit. In the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he quotes some journal that they wanted to make a study to establish how hot is yatzaleres. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook water till it becomes yatzaleres. How hot is yatzaleres? So this Gemara had a pilpul and machlekes where the beis hashchita, the neck of an animal that you shecht, becomes very, very hot because all the blood gushes out. Whether the beis hashchita, the neck is tzoinen, beis hashchita is ritzeh. Finally, Gemara comes to the conclusion, beis hashchita is tzoinen, it's not ritzeh. So obviously, the neck of the animal is somewhere near the borderline. It's a borderline case. It's close to yatzaleres, and Gemara's maskana was that it's not yatzaleres. So how hot is the neck of the animal when you shecht it? So different animals have different temperatures. So I think he writes that the hottest animal, I forgot, is either a goose or a duck. It's hotter than bulls, hotter than cows when you shecht it. And the goose or the duck is something like under 13 degrees Fahrenheit. So that was a pilpul in the Gemara. Gemara came to the conclusion, beis hashchita tzoinen, but if 114 degrees, then it's rosech. That's a little bit of a joke. 1 degree higher is already rosech. Because the Gemara had a machlekes on 100. The Gemara has a machlekes when you're shechting. It doesn't say whether you're shechting chickens, or you're shechting ducks, or you're shechting geese, or you're shechting cows. It doesn't say what. So the Gemara seems to go on all the animals. Whatever you're shechting, whatever kind of an animal you're shechting, it was a pilpul, is it rasech? They came to the conclusion, no, none of the animals are rasech. The hottest an animal can become is the goose or the duck. I forgot which one already. And he said, that's 113. And the Gemara Paskin said, that's tzoinen. So anything above that, you have to be choshesh. If you have no raya, you have to be choshesh that it's rasech. That's, in America, that's not the accepted opinion. All the kashrus organizations in America, anything below 120, for sure they make. 120, they consider a chumrah. 120 they consider as a chumrah, maybe it's atzaleres. So Leitchik said he tested many times on his own, and he thought that there's a concept of yatzaleres. Yatzaleres, the Shach writes in Yeredei Miloshim, asalda bechilu mipanecha. If you're not prepared for it, let's say you stick your hand into a swimming pool, you stick your hand into a pot of water, and you don't know whether it's hot or cold. And if you don't know what to expect, and you're so surprised by the heat that you jump back, your instinctive reaction is you jump back. That's called vasalda bechilo. Vachalda mipanecha means the chazan says he jumps away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he gets so frightened. But yatzaleres bo means you're not prepared for it, and you jump away. So it's very hard to test it. How can you test in advance? That's exactly what you're testing for. You know that it's going to be hot, so you're not going to be able to have the instinctive reaction of jumping away instinctively. You're expecting it to be burning hot. So it's hard to tell how much is yatzaleres. Yad nichlis is something much higher than yatzaleres. Yad nichlis means that the water is scalding hot. Let's say sometimes a person takes a shower, and he has a blend of hot water and cold water, and the cold water someone else in the apartment building is turning on the cold water, so you have only hot water. You don't have any cold water at all in your shower. So then the hot water is going to be so hot. Sometimes it'll be scalding. Mamish, your body will be burnt. After you come out of the shower or the bath, your body will be burnt. That's called Yad Nichlis Bo. Kviya. Kviya means it's burnt. Yad Tzaleres means if you weren't prepared for it, you're going to jump away as an instinctive reaction. So that's a shala. How much is Yad Tzaleres? So they thought it's something between 140 and 160. And the kashrus organizations in America are machmer, anything above 120, they're machmer. They know it's not really. They're machmer to consider everything yatzaleres. So that was the shaila in the Gemara, whether the neck of all the animals, when you shech them, gets hotter than it is otherwise, because all the blood gushes out, that makes it hotter. So that's what Tosis explains on Amud Aleph. They say, the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah is talking, I have a trefa knife and I want to cut an apple with it. Cut an apple is going to be cold. Everything is going to be tzoinen. Nowhere near. It's not even lukewarm. Nowhere near hot. So the only shaila is you have chazer schmaltz bien. You have trefas on the surface of the knife. So you want to clean it off. So how do you clean it off? So if you have a karka kosher, if you have a sandbox and you stick it in the sand is granulated, so it's not going to get anything off. If you have a karka kosher, so if you have a karka kosher meo, you're going to stick your knife in, it's going to break the knife. It's just not going to work. But if you have a karka kosher, not sand, and not too hard, so then if you stick it in 10 times in 10 different places, not you stick it in 10 times in the same hole. The same hole, you only stuck it in the first time. Then the pressure of the earth against the knife will clean it off a little bit. You have to stick it as upon him, the karka kosher in 10 different places. So this, we assume this will remove all of the trefis shamnun is bien. So you'll be able to cut your apple with it and there won't be any trefis shmaltz on the apple. But in our Gemara, the Gemara is talking about using the knife to shecht an animal. The Gemara at this point is assuming shalibna ba'ur. The Gemara at this point didn't raise the issue yet. The next line, the Gemara is going to raise the issue on chesam and beis, whether the neck is beis ha-shechita, the neck is roseach, beis ha-shechita is sonim. So the Gemara is assuming the neck is roseach. And if it's roseach, it's not going to be sufficient that you cleaned off all the schmaltz on the surface of the knife. Because there's a trefa b'liya of the schmaltz inside the metal of the knife, and that trefa b'liya can come out and make the neck of the kosher animal that I'm going to shecht now. The trefa b'liya will make the neck a treif. So that's what the Gemara says, libna bur, you have to kasher it. Libna bur, you have to kasher to burn out the trefa b'liya inside. But the Gemara, the end of Avodah Zarah, is talking, you want to be choytech tzayna, you want to cut an apple, or cut a pear or something. So that I call it a salami, fine. So that's only an issue of the shamnun is bien on the surface. You have to be not so bekarka as a pamim. Here the Gemara has another suggestion what you should do. The Gemara says if you have blesa de parsa lemichpere, if you have a rough shmata and you wipe off, let's say you have steel wool. You have steel wool and you wipe off the surface of the knife. So steel wool does a very good job. It removes all the shamnunis bien. Or if you have a rough shmata, you have a rough towel, you can wipe all the shamnunis off. So how come that's a new kasha that Tyson says on the base? How come the Gemara Bayas on Ches on the base says the possibility to wipe off with a rough shmata all the shamnunis bien? And the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah says you got to stick it in the karka 10 times. Isn't that a contradiction? Or it means either or, either this or that, or is there some kind of a contradiction? So that's what Tosfos asks over here, on the base, Ches on the base. Hilchasa, afila b'tzoinen, v'yika blesa de parsa, if you have a tough shmata, you can wipe it off. So Tosfos asks, but in the Gemara, in the end of Avodah Zarah, they just quoted here. V'odaboy b'sof Avodah Zarah, ne'itzu yud pamim b'karka, lachtach b'tzoinen, v'sakon shal goyim, Ladami lesakan treifa dehocha. Why? Here the Gemara, here on Chesam Beis, the Gemara is talking. I used a knife and I shechted an animal. Then it turned out that after I shechted the animal, then I checked the lungs, and it turns out the animal happens to be a treifa. So once in the history of the world, I used a knife to cut one animal that was a treifa. So even if you'll hold that the Beis Hashchita is hot, yeah, but we're just cutting tzayna now. We're not worried about the bleas coming out. We just want to take off the shamnunis bien. The whole animal is a trefa. If you have a sirch on the lungs, not only the lungs are trefa, the whole animal is a trefa. See, how much shamnunis are you going to have? You shechted once in the history of the world. You shechted a trefa with it. There the end of Avodah Zarah is talking. This sakin belonged to Anochri. He used it for years and years and years for trefas. So in the days of the Gemara, they didn't clean off all the silverware like we do today. Whenever you wash the dishes, you clean all, you use steel wool, you wipe all the shamnunis bien. So the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah says you need needs, a bekarka esapam and bekarka kosher, because there it was used by the Nochri for many years. Hocha bikroi bialma. Here you used it once to shecht an animal. Turned out that animal is a trefa. So you wipe it off with a shmata and you get off all this shamnunis on the bien. Avol, but there the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah, besakhtu shalob di kachavim, this knife used to belong to a non-Jew. All the time they use it to cut trefas. There's going to be more trefas, schmaltz on it. Then you have to be eats. The only way to remove all the bien is by sticking in the karka kosher 10 times. Or by using steel wool. Okay. Shite. Okay. So these are the Tosis is explaining. Fine. No contradiction. Then Tosis continues after the first Anchesam and Aleph Shalibna. Then Tosis continues. Vitema, they have the kasha. This part we discussed yesterday. The Mash Mahacha. From Agamar would appear the boy Libun versus Hagolah. Hey, Mashmanami, but Sefta the Masachas of the Zora, Peritestic Tanish put the Maskulos, Masakinim Labnam, but where you need Libun. The Tema, the Gemara himself in Daflam, and says not so. Mashma, the Sagi Behagolah, the Kama, the Gemara says, Hani Sakinim, the Pisla, Hey, Abdina Lu. They didn't have separate knives, they kashed everything from all year long, they kashed it before Pesach. Umaskin, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Hilchoso Idi V'Idi, Beroyschem, both the handle and the blade, you just have to do Hagolah, because the Gemara starts off, Ravashi used to do Libun on the blade. On the handle, he would cover the handle with clay, so it wouldn't get, the handle was wooden, so he's afraid it's going to get burnt with the fire. So when he did the Libun on the blade, on the metal blade, he covered the handle with the clay, and then he took off the clay, and he did Hagolah on the handle, on the wooden handle. Then the Gemara says, V'ilchus, so we don't fasten like that. Idi v'idi b'roischem. All you need is Hagolah, both on the handle and on the blade. So how come over here in the Tosefton, Avodah Zorah Perek Tes, it says you need Libun? And there in Pesachim Daf Lamed on the base says it's enough with Hagolah for treif and night. So yesterday we discussed the two answers of the Rabbein Tam. The Omer Rabbein Tam, they quote the both answers. Yesh l'chala ben chomitz, shum de hetera bola. So whenever it's hetera bola and you do hagola before the Zman Issa, before the Issa chomitz sets in, so then we assume all it has, whenever you do hagola on a kli that really needed libun, so the whole time that's going to, the ruba of the time is going to be removed. You did a hagola. And what will be remaining behind will be a tam kolush. So Tam Kolish, we say, when it gets to Nat Banat, and when it gets to this din of Hagolah versus Libun, when we say Tam Kolish is enough to preserve an Easter that already set in, but you can't, an Easter can't be chal in the first place on a Tam Kolish. So if you kasha the chomitz, dik, and knives before this Zman Easter at Pesach, before Shor Hamishis and Erev Pesach in the morning, then the Torah the chomitz only becomes also b'achila b'hanoat chatzos. So 1 hour before chatzos, and there are Pesach in the morning comes also b'anah. 2 hours before Chatzos becomes also b'achila. So if you do the Hagolah before the Zman Iser Achila, then it's a terabola. So then you don't need Libun. In a time Yesh L'chali ben Chometz, Yishum de haterabola, as opposed to Treifus. Here we're talking about the end of the Tosefta with the Zohar Perek Tes, talking about Shpudim Askelos, Sakinim of non-Jews. So it has a real Treif of Leah. Our Gemara is talking about Treif of Leah. But if all it has is a chametz dikabliya, that's a terabola. And where did they come up with this einfal? That whenever it's a terabola, all you need is hagola. It's a beferish gemara. The beinyan zeh mechalek. Exactly this distinction appears. This chilek appears in the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Daf einfal and aleph. I avagab the hashda dibli habihud. But right now, when it comes Pesach, it is chametz. It is isura bola. It doesn't matter. Mikomakam. Since when it was nivla melechatkila. It was a terabola, so that's the din, that all you need is hakola, you don't need libun. I, Avagav Dar Rashi Guf and Mechala Kain, who's speaking over here? Ravashi himself is the one who says that on the last daf in, I mentioned yesterday, Smachlek Zabai V'Rav. So Abai says, Yagad Olav Reya, once you get to Parshas Matos, and it says sometimes Hagolah, sometimes Libun. So that sheds light on the Pesukim and Parsha Sav, that sometimes when you kasha the kli, in which you broil the Korban Chatos or the Korban Hashem, sometimes you need Hagolah, sometimes it'll be sufficient with Libun. So Ravashi agrees, goes along with Rava. That's how we pass like Rava. How can it be? The Afak after Ravashi, Guf and Mechala came by with the Zohar, right? And in Pesachim Ravashi, the one who says that he did Libun on the knives before Pesach. What did they leave him for? He himself holds from the chilek of Heterabali Surabala. If he's kashering it on Pesach, then you need leave him. He's not doing it on Pesach. Everybody kashers before Pesach comes in. Avagavter Abashi Gufi, he's the one who agrees with Rav on the last half, and Avodah Zarah to this distinction. Mechala Kain, makes this distinction between a terabal and surba. I get brand new knives or pesos. Then the Gemara says, well, you can afford it. You're a rich man. What about people who can't afford it? Says, no, I didn't mean to say I buy new knives. I meant I do libum. So you can all do libum. So what did he do libum for? Should be enough with hagola. So Tosa says it was machmar alatma. He did it, but teres chumer. Mikra, then you really don't need it. And that leads Tosa to say the next line in the Gemara there says, Rabashi used to do libum on the blade, and he covered over the wooden handle with clay, so they wouldn't get burnt. And then after he did the libum on the blade, then he did hagola on the handle, maybe some treifas spritzed onto the wooden handle. So then the Gemara says, "Behilchus, but we don't pass like Rabashi." Hilchus say, "Idi broskan." Both the blade and the handle is good enough with burning hot water with hagola. So Tosfos thinks not that the Gemara is paskening against Rabashi. Rabashi himself is speaking. He's talking. He personally is machmer alatzmo. He does libun on the blade. But near and Tosfos thinks the hod masik. The next line in the Gemara himself says, "Hilchus idi broskan." Both the blade and the handle is enough with hagola. Having maskana the milsa de Rabashi. He's talking himself. He only says, I do like brand new, I kash it with libun, that's his personal chumer. But he told the Balabatim, you don't have to do that, you can do hagola. So that's one distinction. A terabal is surabal. That's quoted lalach in Yeridea. That's Rabbi Kevege quotes in lalach in Yeridea. But the Oidam Rabbi in time, another distinction, the hocho betesefta in the end of Abba Dizor, that it says if you have a treifa knife, you have to do libun. They're talking about big knives. Sometimes you turn over the meat on the broiler with the knife. That's what it depends on. Whenever you use something, believe mashkin. If you have a pot that you cook treif for soup in, so all you need is hagoli. You don't need libum. In Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kiveger and Yeridei, in the beginning of the Sefer Chelek Yeridei, quote the tshuva from the Ramam Ifanu. Ifanu is a city somewhere in Italy. And Ramam Ifanu lived in Italy in the 1500s. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to print his Shulchan Aruch. He wanted to print the Beis Yosef. And the Shulchan Aruch said he sent it to Ramam Ifanu. I don't know how they had mail delivery then, special delivery, whatever. He sent it to Ramam Ifanu. He entrusted him. He was the one who was in charge of printing the Shulchan Aruch on behalf of Rabbi Yosef Kara. Because there was no printing press in Eretz Yisrael, but there was a printing press in Italy. Ramam Ivano has a tshuva that we don't accept. He says it depends what you cooked. If you, let's say you have chicken soup, treifa chicken soup, so then it's enough with hagola. Why? Because you have particles of chicken floating around, but the chicken is not touching the walls of the pot. The chicken gives a flavor into the water, into the soup, and then the soup is nibbled into the walls. But let's say if you're cooking blood, you have treifa blood, you're cooking blood in a pot. So the blood is mamish bien. Not that there's a treifa piece of meat floating around in a liquid. The liquid is the treifas. The liquid is the blood. So then you need libun, then you need libun. So we don't accept that opinion. He holds that the difference between libun and hagala is whether the treifa food is touching directly to the pot or there's mashke and mafsik in between. We don't accept that. We accept what Tosfos says over here. Whenever it's al gabi ho'esh, and there's no mashkim, then you need libun. A lot of times, let's say they already put the treifa steak on the plate, and I'm cutting like this. Fine, there's no mashkim, but it's not agabi reish, then it's also good enough with hagola. And whenever there is mashkim, then it's always good enough with hagola. Even though the mashkim is dam, even though the mashkim is mamish the yisir itself, it doesn't matter, you don't need libun. We don't accept that Ramam Ifanu. So that's the second suggestion that the Rabbi Natam gave to distinguish. When do you need Hagola for a life and when do you need Lima? First suggestion was a Terabola versus a Surabola, based on the Gemara, the last half and Avodah Zarah. And then the second suggestion, Rabbi Natam, depends. The Hocho B'Tasefet in the end of Avodah Zarah, Ari B'Sakinim G'doylim, that you sometimes use Shetzelim B'Hembosah, sometimes use it Agabi Ho'esh, B'Havi Tashmish Ha'idei Ho'ur. So then, lochi boy libun. That's why you need libun in that case. V'deka nami, it's meduyak like that. Why? Because in the Tosefta, it puts the sakinim together with shpudim and askalos. So shpud is a spit that you put a big piece of meat on and you broil it. So the sakinim that we're talking about, big sakinim that you use in broiling meat. The ganami, why? The kachoshu luba tesefta, the tesefta, the end of Masach Zawad Azar, barish bun maskulos, ava sakinim de pischa, the gemar himself in the flamet, that says, idi vi idi beroischem, the blade with the handle you do with hagola, Abel Sakini the Pischa that Gemara Mari Biktanim, little knives that you use on the table. You never take that knife. You're not going to hold that knife on top of the fire and turn over the meat. Abel Sakini the Pischa the Sugi himself and Aflam Mari Biktanim. Shine. Okay. It's correct. The both answers are correct. We are Machma like the Ramban. We are Machman. We treat Chum as Kaidam Pesach like Isura Bola. To sometimes require libum. In Shulchan Aruch it says, but you still make all on not by not. And the Mishnah Berurah thinks we should be machma on the not by not. That's very surprising. He reversed the psak that was observed for centuries. The psak always was like Tosfos, that not by not is kosher on Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah did away with it, just like this. Such a holy tzaddik, so a lot of people follow the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah. That was a new shayla. What if you have a knife and you used it 100 times for treifas, 98 times, we mentioned yesterday, 98 times out of 100 you use that on the table, and 2% of the time you use that on Gabi Hoesh. So if the knife is still at Ben Yomo, it was used 100 times today in the last 24 hours, and it has a blia that could be Nosen Tam L'Shvach, that you say Tam Ki Iker. So then if you only used it once al Gabi Hoesh, then you have to do Libun. So if you used it twice al Gabi Hoesh, and 98 times in addition, so al Gabi Hoesh, so therefore there's room to be mekel, no room to be mekel. The shaila is, if the kli is ain't a ben yomo. So Mikra Adin Deraisa, the Gemara says on the last daf and over the Zohar, Mikra Adin Deraisa, a treif of kli she ain't a ben yomo is mutter to use without kashering at all. The whole need to kasha the pot that's only ain't ben yom is only the rabbanim. Why is that? So the Gemara says because it's nice and tam levgam. So we ought to discuss that a little bit. There is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Where was it? Daf Samach Zayin, I think. One of the Zarah has a machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, machlekes Hatanoim. The pasuk in Chumash says if you have an avela lagera shavashirachet tudna levachala. We just had it, no? Parshas Re'ei. All the dinim of kashrus were Parshas Re'ei. So this is what do you do if you have an avela? A ger is obligated to dan v'chal. How can you give it to a ger? A ger is obligated to observe all the 613 mitzvah. How can you give an avela? Means it's a ger toisha. A ger toisha means a non-Jew who never was mizgayer. He didn't convert to become Jewish, but he committed himself to observe the shevet mitzvahs been enough. But he does eat nevelas. He eats non-kosher food. Just because he believes in God doesn't worship Avodah Zarah doesn't mean he's obligated to observe the Tariag Mitzvah Satur. So the Torah says, if you have Nevela meat, L'gerish Avshach Tetnan Avachola, give it to the Ger Toshav, because it's a mitzvah L'Hachioso. If the Ger Toshav, probably not going to have too many friends, this poor guy, this Ger Toshav, because the Goyim are not going to like him. I'm sure going to. He accepts upon himself to observe. He goes to a bezna of three rabbis to accept the observance of the Shevet Mitzvah has been enough. Jews are not going to be too friendly with him. He's not Jewish. He's a Nochri. The Goyim are not going to be too friendly with him because he's half-Jewish. He goes to the Bezdin to accept Shevet Mitzvah has been enough. So he probably won't have too much of a parnasa. So the Gemara says it's a mitzvah lach yosei. The pasuk says, titnana b'chola. Oh, mochola Nochri. If you have a non-Jew, there's no mitzvah to give charity, to give tzedakah to the Nochri. So sell it to the Nochri. So that's what the pasuk is talking about. So the Gemara learns that from that pasuk, nevela haruya lager kruy nevela, and nevela sheine kruy lager eine kruy nevela. Let's say I have a salami that I left out of the refrigerator for a month. It'd probably be rotten, probably be spoiled, probably have a bellyache if you eat it. So it's not roy lachilo sodom. If you'll take it and you start to eat it, it's going to taste awful. So that's the din, nevela sheine ruya lager. It's not roy lachilo sodom. Even though it's rei lachilas behemah, if a dog will eat it, the dog will not get sick. The dog will enjoy the rotten salami. But if it's not rei lachilas adam, even though it's rei lachilas akelah, so the din is that it's mutter. So that's a pasuk in Chumash. That's how the Tanoim understood that pasuk. Agerish Avashirach did not have Achala. Nevela Harui Lager, if it's Roy Lachil Asadim Kruy Nevela, Nevela Shaini Roy Lager, any Kruy Nevela. So there's a Machlek, and Reb Shimon, what does that mean? So I think Reb Yehuda is of the opinion, if the animal before it dropped dead, while it was still alive, it became Nivsa Me'achila. The animal was holding by the end for a long time and kept on losing weight, skinny, smelly, has awful smell, awful taste, everything is awful, and then it drops dead. So it was the Issa Nevei Lachal. So if it's not Rei Lachilos Adam at the time that the animal drops dead, the Issa was never Chal, because it wasn't Rei Lachilos Adam in the first place. What if it's a regular meat in the A&P? It is Rei Lachilos Adam. But you leave it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it became, after it was already Chal and Issa Nevei, then it becomes Nivsa Lachilos Adam. Rav Yehuda's opinion is that then it's not Muta. We don't pass like Rav Yehuda, we pass like Rav Shimon. Even though the Issa Nevela was Chal, it's meat from the A&P that is Roi Lachilo Sodom. The Issa Nevela was already Chal, but it becomes Nifsa Machilo Sodom, so that's also Muta. Muta Bachilo. Minatur, it's Muta Bachilo Minatur. Is it awesome with the Rabbanon? If the thing is not Roi Lachilo Sodom, is it awesome with Rabbanon? So that is the Machloikis, the Ramban, and the Rosh, and Psochim. That's Machlag Zamban and the Rosh himself. Rabban writes that he thinks it's even Mutter Midi Rabban. Why should he say he has a Mishnah in Pesachim that seems to say that it's Mutter Bachila even Midi Rabban? And the Rosh thinks that it's not so. That if someone sits and he eats it, so you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it is Roi Lachila Sodom Araya. You're a human being and you're eating it. So that's what we call Akshadeh. I demonstrate that as far as I'm concerned, it is Roi Lachilo Sodom. So actually, it doesn't make it into an Issa Deraisa. It's not Roi Lachilo Sodom. Let's say sometimes there's a food that tastes absolutely awful. There's a food that tastes awful to us because our taste buds function. But a little baby who's very a baby before a couple of months old, some of that baby formula tastes awful. So what's the problem? It's even if it's treifus, it's not Roi Lachilo Sodom. It should really be Mutter. The question is, but the baby, the one who's eating it, the taste buds don't function yet. So the baby doesn't realize that it's not Roi Lachilo. It tastes so awful. So then it depends on a normal person, the average person. It doesn't depend. Even though the only people who eat the baby formula are babies, the adults never eat it. But still, the Pashto says that it depends on the adults. So if the food is not Roi Lachilo Sodom, it's Mutter Min HaTorah, and the Rosh says it's awesome in the Rabbanim because of Achshavei, right? Since he sits and he eats it, he demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, it still is Roi Lachilo Sodom, never became Nifsal. Right? That's how we paskin in Yerideya. We paskin like the Rosh, that even if the food was Nifsal Achilo Sodom, I left out the salami from the refrigerator for a whole month, and it tastes awful, and it smells awful. And it's nifsa, clearly nifsa machila sadam, it's mutam and atara, but we pass on like the Rosh. It's awesome with the Rabbanim because of Akshavei. So based on that, the Gemara explained, based on that, machlekes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, and we pass like Reb Shimon, that even if the Issa Nevela was chal already, at the time the animal dropped dead, it was Roi Lachila sadam, but it became nifsa machila after the Issa Nevela was chal, we still say it's mutam. So there's another machlokes of Yehuda and Reb Shimon. What's the din of Nosen Tam Levgam? What does it mean Nosen Tam Levgam? It means like this. Let's say I have some delicious food. I don't know, ice cream, whatever. Imagine some delicious food. And some chazish malts falls in. So let's say orange juice tastes delicious. Milk tastes delicious. But you mix orange juice and milk, it doesn't taste good. It's a Nosen Tam Levgam. The two, not all, just because A tastes delicious and B tastes delicious, does mean that when you mix it together, it's going to taste good. So what's the din if you have, let's say we gave the mashal yesterday. If I go to the store and I buy some treifa cookies that don't have a hechsher, so what percentage of the ingredients is treifa ready? There's a little treifa schmaltz over there. Probably 1%, 2%. Well, what's the problem over there? The answer is, Tom, even though it's much less than 50%, and it should be batel b'roi, based on the Pasuk Acher Rab Lahata's Pasuk tells us the din of Bitl Beroi. Whenever two things that mixed in together and it's all mushed in together. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, well, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol takes for Lokach HaKohen Midam HaPar Midam HaSoyer. He mixes together Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer. When he does, when the Kohen Gadol does the Zrika in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Kapayres, so he does the Zrika on the Dam HaPar separately and the Dam HaSoyer separately. When he does the Zrika in front of the Pareches, in the Hechel, in front of the Pareches, does separately. But then, Ma'arvin Lekronis, when he does the Zrika on the Karnas HaMizbech HaPnimi, once a year, it says he mixes together the Dam Ma'arvin Lekronis, and that's the Pasuk. Lokach HaKohen Midam HaPar Midam HaSoyer. So the Tanoim all know that par is a big fat animal, the soyer is a skinny malink. So the pashtus is you're going to have much more dam hapor than you're going to have dam soyer. If you want, you can rig it to be the reverse. You can hold the cup under the soyer for a minute and under the par for 2 seconds. You're going to have more dam soyer than dam hapor. If you hold the klisharis, if you hold the cup for the kabbalah sadam, if you hold within the same amount of time under the neck of the par under the neck of the soyer, you're going to be much more dam hapar. The chances are 1 in 1 billion, 1 trillion, is going to be exactly 50-50. It's not going to be 50-50. 50% dam hapar, 50% dam hasoyer, highly unlikely. It's never going to happen. So how can the pasuk say, v'lokach hakoy midam hapar midam hasoyer, hadovi yadua, that one is going to be more than the other, ruba de ruba is going to be, the dam hapar is going to be meruba midam hasoyer, unless he rig it in the other direction. So how is the kain ever mekayim the pasuk, as it says, v'lokach midam hapar midam hasoyer, whichever is less than 50%, usually going to be the dam hasoyer, should be bottle berayv, and all you have is the dam hapar. So all the tanaim were working on that. How do you mekayim that pasuk? So Rabbi Yehuda came up. Pashto says we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi passes like Rabbi Yehuda. Ben Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept that pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda comes up with a chiddush that min b'mina lach b'lach, min b'mina loy bottle, dam b'dam, mayim b'mayim, yayim b'yayim. Whenever it's min b'mina, it's loy bottle. He learns it from that pasuk. V'lokach hakoyim midam apam midam asor. Despite the fact that it's never going to be 50-50 exactly, either one is going to be more than the other. That's going to be more than that. That's the din. The min loy bottle. So Rashi passes like Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't hold like that. We don't accept that opinion. And then the Chachamim say that kan la'olim sheim batn zezah, things that are korev on the mizbeach are not batn. Why not? We'll have to try to figure out why. Okay, maybe in the course of the year we'll stumble across Gemara, Aran and Nedarim on daftan beis, and maybe we'll figure out the reason why. But that's the pasuk like that. So the question is, if you have already a tray for cookie, any tray for food, unless you buy tray for meat, a tray for chickens, the whole thing is tray. But whenever you buy some non-kosher candy or non-kosher cookies or something, whatever, it's not going to be, usually it's not going to be 51% treif. It's going to be one of the ingredients. It's going to be, it does not have, so it's going to be a little ingredient, but it's always less than 50%. So the answer is, that's the din of tam kiker. Since it blends in to add flavor to the thing, and you can taste the flavor. If you can't taste the flavor, they wouldn't have mixed it in. They spend a fortune of money to mix in different flavors. Sometimes they have 10 different flavors, and every flavor has 10 different flavors mixed in. So the kashrus organization have to check 100 different places, and the 10 flavors that make up the one flavor, the 10 flavors, make the, each flavor comes from a different country, on a different continent. They have to contact 100 different companies to find out whether all these 100 flavors that blended in together, are they kosher or not. So it's going to be less than 50% anyway, but that's the din tam kiker. Since it tastes different because of all the different flavors, so therefore it's considered as if the treifus is beyond. So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara, where the tam kiker is a din deraisa, a din derabanan. Machlokes hatanoim. How do you paskin? Is a shaila. So Rashi interpreted that this is a machlokes abai v'rav later. Where is it? No, where's the Mishnah? Tipas Chol Shenachlo Achatiha. Where Kufches? Daf Kufches. Yeah, the topic comes up quite a few times. Here, Daf Kuf Ches Amen Aleph, You have right after the Mishnah. Amar Abai, Tam ki Iker is the din deraisa. How does he prove it? He says, how can you ever have an isa basa b'cholov? What, the basa and the cholov is exactly 50-50. I have milk and I have schmaltz from flesh. And I cook the, let's say, liquefied flesh. I have milk and flesh, and I have exactly 50-50. You never have 50-50. You have meat, and you cooked it with a little milk. You cooked it with a little butter. Or you have milchus, and you put a little bit of schmaltz flavoring into the milchus. But you don't have 50-50. So how do you ever have an isa of basa b'cholov? Whichever one is less than 50% should be bottle bereif. So Rabbi says it's a raif in the whole institution of basa b'cholov. You never have exactly 50-50. It's clear. It's clear that one is going to be a derive and one is going to be meal. So you see that what? That Tam Kikar deraisa, since the one that's less than 50% is nice and tam, it gives a flavor, so it's considered as if it's not both. And Rava argues and he says that's not a good proof. Sure. So Rashi learns, oh, Machlekes Abai v'Rava, with the Tam Kikar deraisa derabanan. That's a repeat of the Machlekes Hatanoim. In Pesachim and earlier in Chulin, with the Tam Kikar deraisa derabanan, whatever there's a machlekes Abai v'Rava, we pass like Rava, except for the Al-Kagam. So Rashi said, this is not from the Al-Kagam. So you see from this Gemara that we pass on Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanan. That's what Rashi said. You see from this Gemara, we pass like Rava, that Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanan. And Tosis disagrees with Rashi. No, that's not a machlekes. Machlekes Abai v'Rava, whether you can prove from the institution of Basel B'cholov. Can you prove from this parsha? A Rava holds he can prove from another parsha that Tam Kikar deraisa. But Rava never said that Tam Kikar is lav deraisa. Fine. So that's a question. So on Shulchan Aruch we pass on Tam Kikar is deraisa. Fine. We should be passing. We don't pass like Rashi. Rashi passes like Rabbi Yehuda. That min b'minoi lach b'lach is b'mashu. We don't accept that at all. We pasken that when you have a taruv is made minoi, then a taruv is bottle chad betray. If the treifus is less than 50% is bottle, and the rabban you need shishim. Fine. And so that Rashi be unacceptable. And this Rashi, the Rashi holds that Tam Kikar is not their isa, so the Shulchan Aruch pasken is not like Rashi. We pasken Tam Kikar is their isa. Some Achranim say, they're not so convinced that we pasken like Tosfos, B'toras Vadai, that Tam Kikar is deraisa, maybe B'toras Sofek. Maybe we only hold Tam Kikar, maybe is deraisa, Misofek, but maybe we'll go Luchum in the other direction also. Maybe we're Misupik. Maybe the din is like Rashi, that Tam Kikar love deraisa. If you come up with a Chumer by saying Tam Kikar love deraisa, maybe you should be Machma for Rashi also. So that's, some of the Achrenim have like that, that you should be Machma both directions. Whether Tam Kikar deraisa, love deraisa. And there's a Sefer Afikayam. Afikayam was a businessman. And he got a Rabbanus. There were a whole bunch of Polish, big Talmid HaChacham. And we mentioned Menachem Zemba was a businessman. He ran his father-in-law's hardware store after the father-in-law died. So the whole bunch, a whole chevra of businessmen who were big, big Talmid HaChacham. So this, the one who wrote the Sefer Afikayam also used to write and used to correspond with other Rabbanim, Talmid HaChacham. He spoke to other Talmid HaChacham. He has this fantastic Sefer. So he tells a whole story that once there was a Chole Sheyesh B'Sakana on Shabbos, and the doctor said you have to give him chicken soup. So Rabbi Chaim said you have to shechtik, and it was Shabbos afternoon, nobody had any hot chicken soup. A prime paskin, you have to shech the chicken on Shabbos and salt it and make a kosher, make the chicken soup for him. So they did it. And after they gave it to the chayla, Rab Simcha Zelig was the dayan in Brisk. Rab Simcha Zelig was very kofif to Rab Chaim. Whatever Rab Chaim said, that's halacha, that's the psak. So after the whole maisa was over, so he mentioned that there's a tshuva sefer, give us Pinchas, by one of the gedolim, who says that... when the Shulchan Aruch paskens that Tam Kikar is deraisa, it's only b'toras sofek, not b'toras vadai. And if it will come up a chumra based on Rashi Shita, that Tam Kikar lav deraisa, it should be choshesh for Rashi Shita. So why did they shech the chicken in order to make the chicken soup? They should have gone to a trefer restaurant. There were goyish trefer restaurants in Brisk. should have gone to a trefa restaurant and gotten some trefa chicken soup from the restaurant. According to Rashi, tam ki kalav deraisa. So you only be violation of a din derabbanan. Like this, they shechted the chicken, and they cooked the chicken, they did shchita, and they did the bishul. So why do they have to do all the yisurim deraisa? They could have given them chicken soup. According to Rashi, it's only an isa derabbanan, tam ki derabbanan. So Rav Chaim said, why don't you tell me in advance? What do you wait the lach amaisa for? Epsim Chazel was so covered, Rav Chaim, that's the psak. And then as a curiosity, he told him afterwards that they give us Pinchas rights not so. So he should have told me in advance. We would have bought the chicken soup from the store. That's it. Epsim Chazelik was very careful. Whenever Rav Chaim would give a psak sometimes, Rav Chaim would give a psak based on a tzira for five different considerations. Lahokel, Epsim Chazelik felt that Rav Chaim considered it enough to be a mitzarif it, but another four tzadim lahokel, he can be mekel on that alone. So he would be mekel on each tzad alone, without all the tzira for all the five together. Epsim Chazelik was very careful to Rav Chaim. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a din of tam ki ikar. So what happens, let's say you have an ice cream that tastes delicious, and then someone pours some chazeshmaltz, delicious chazeshmaltz into the ice cream. It doesn't taste as good as it tasted before. It tasted delicious, it tastes very good, but it tasted better without the chazeshmaltz. And the chazeshmaltz is less than 50%. So that's called nesim tam levgam. It's absolutely royal achila sodom. It's delicious, but it was tastier before. Well, let's say you have a vegetable soup. It has a delicious flavor. And a little chazeshmaltz falls in, and it affects a change in the flavor. It doesn't taste as good as it tasted before. Before it tasted better. So that's the din of nesim tam levgam. If the chazeshmaltz that falls in is less than 50% of the whole tarubas, and it's poigen b'miktsas. The soup tasted better before it fell in. So that's called nesim tam levgam, and the Gemara said that's a machlekes between Rab Shimon and Rab Yudah. How do you read the psukim? According to Rab Shimon, who's mekel, that nifsal nachilo sodom is muter, even if it wasn't srucha meikara, when the animal dropped dead, it wasn't nifsal nachilo sodom at the time that it died. The Issa Nevela was chal, but then it became, he left it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it became Hisriach, the Hifsid. So then Reb Shimon is Mekel, Reb Yudah is Machmer over there. So just like Reb Shimon is Mekel over there, so Reb Shimon would be Mekel if you have an Issa falls into Heter, and it's Poigim B'Mitzvahs. The food tastes delicious, but it tasted better without it. So that's Noisin Tam Levgam. So we pass on like Reb Shimon, that is Mutam. Fine. Then Tosis points out there are two types of Noisim Tam Levgam. Is that the Tosis and Adav? Is that the Tosis in the end of Avodah Zarah? We are Ches on the base. The Tosis points out there are two kinds of Noisim Tam Levgam. There's one Noisim Tam Levgam. Yeah. The top Tosis on the base. Where the Chazer Shmaltz falls into the ice cream. The ice cream tasted absolutely delicious. And when the chazer shmaltz falls in and it mixes in together, the ice cream tastes good, but it tasted better before. So that's when it's poigim, when it's bien. When you mix in the chazer shmaltz into the ice cream, it ruins it. Then there's a different kind of nesim tam levgam. I cooked chazer in a pot. A goy cooked chazer in a pot, let's say. And he ate up all the chazer, he washes out the pot. And the bli of the chazer sits in the pot for 24 hours. So the Gemara says, "Iefshe dolei pogma purta." The fact that it's in contact with the charsis agdera, or the metallic flavor that the metal of the pot has, so that's going to be poigame the flavor of the chazer schmaltz of the chazer that was nibla in the walls. So whatever you're going to cook in that pot later on, I'm going to cook kosher soup in the pot. Again, I have a trefa pot that hasn't been used on trefas in 24 hours, and now I'm going to cook some kosher food. So when Atarva, the Gemara says, is mutter, according to Rav Shimon. Atarva is mutter. Why? That's the din of nesim tam levgam. So what exactly does that mean? What exactly does that mean that the bliya in the pot is nesim tam levgam? So there's a machloikis in Rishayim, how to understand the Gemara. So a simple pshat would be, because the flavor of the chazer was sitting there with the charsis hagdera, and the klicheris, so with the metal, and it has the metallic flavor, it's sitting there for 24 hours. So whatever food I'm going to cook in the pot later, I'll cook vegetable soup, I'll cook kosher chicken soup, whatever I'm going to cook, would have tasted better without this bliya. Because this bliya doesn't taste so good. Would have tasted better without it. So that's the regular din of nice and tam levgam. If I mix in treifis into heter, and it's less than 50%, but the heter, the kosher food tasted better without this ingredient of the treifis being mixed in. So that's called nice and tam levgam is mutter. And some other rishonim describe it differently. When you leave the salami out of the refrigerator for a month, the salami is absolutely not royal achilas onim. A person will taste it, he's going to spit it out right away. He sees sometimes he starts tasting soup or food, you see it's not, it's spoiled. So it's not royal achilas onim. So if you have food, shehisriach, not royal achilas onim. So if you have a tray for belia in a pot for 24 hours, the charsis hakdeira, or the meta, the metallic flavor, will ruin the flavor of the chazashmalts, and the chazashmalts not royal achilas adam at all. And that's what the Gemara means. If you cook kosher food in a treifa pot after 24 hours, the treifa blia doesn't make a treif, not because it's pagan bippin mixtus. No, the treifa blia in the pot is not royal achilas adam. It's at the Gemara. It's at the Gemara. So at the Gemara, so it doesn't make treif the other food. What's the difference? It's hard, very hard to tell. How can you make a controlled experiment to tell whether the bliya and the charsis hagdera? The Rashba was the Talmud of the Ramban. So the Rashba wrote a sefer, Torah Sabayis. The whole Yerudei Chelek Aleph is based on the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. Every section of Shulchan Aruch is based on a different sefer from Rishonim. So much of the Shulchan Aruch is based on Rambam. Much of the Shulchan Aruch is word for word quotations from the Rambam. And certain sections are not. So let's say Chelek Aleph Yerudeya is all based on the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. Hilchos Chita separately, Hilchos Basa B'cholov, Hilchos Malicha, all the different sections, a lot of it is based on the Rashba. Hilchos Avelus, the end of Yerudeya, the end of Chelek Gimel Yerudeya, is really based on the Rosh and the Ramban. They wrote so much about Avelus, so everything is based on them. Much of Choshen Mishpat is based on the Sefer HaTrumos, which is a sefer written by a Talmud of the Ramban. And he quotes a lot the Ramban. He quotes the Chachmei Svarot a lot. Different parts of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rashba wrote the sefer Torah Sabayis. That's all the Yerudei Chelek Aleph is based on that. And then we have the Rashba's friend, Rabbi Aaron Alevi, wrote Hasogas on the Torah Sabayis. That's called the Berak Abayis, to fix up the Torah Sabayis. Then the Rashba wrote anonymously, as if he's a third party, he wrote Mishmeres Habayis to defend what he wrote in the Torah Habayis from the Kashas of the Rabban Alevi of the Ra'or in the Berak Habayis. For many years it was assumed that it was written by somebody else because he always writes in the third person. The author says in the Sefer and the Ra'or disagrees with him, and I think the author is right, and then they finally found in the Tshuva Sarashbo, he writes, I wrote the Mishmeres Habayis. He says to himself, unless it's a forgery, unless the letter is a forgery. So the Chidor quotes all of this, that for many years it was thought that the Mishmeres Habayis was written by a third party, until they found it seems that it was really written by the Rashba himself. Okay. So the Ra'or in the Berak Habayis writes this second way, the funny way. He says that the Beliya Eina Ben Yomo, the tray for Beliya in a pot after 24 hours, is literally Nipsa Machila Sodom. Not only because when whatever you're going to cook in the pot after 24 hours would have tasted better, it's going to taste delicious, but it would have tasted better if it wouldn't have had this funny Beliya that was sitting with the Gedera for 24 hours. Would have tasted better. So he says, no, that's not. It's a different kind of nice and talogam. It means that the bli and the pot after 24 hours is literally nipsad v'hisriach enroel achilosa the mamish. Okay, etagom. What's the difference? The difference is chomis b'pesach is b'mashu. Chomis b'pesach is b'mashu. So let's go back. We were discussing a little bit yesterday. In the Middle Ages, the Goyim used to harass the Jews. So they knew the Jews didn't want to eat any chametz on Pesach. And they didn't have a plumbing system like we have now. They turn on the faucet, and the water comes from the reservoir. the clean water comes and it's purified and it goes through filters and so on. So the Jews had to draw water from a well. Everybody had to draw water from a well. So right before Pesach, the Goyim would throw chametz. They would throw bread into the well to harass the Jews. And in recent years, in the early 1900s, the Jewish communists would throw chametz into the well to harass the religious Jews. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that where he lived, they lived under the communists for a while. So the Jewish communists would throw chametz into the well. So his father was the rabbi there. So his father told the Balabatim, any well where they find bread, they should throw ink into the well. So gamli gamloch lo yeh. So the apikursim won't be able to drink the water either. They're giving us a hard time, so we're going to make it impossible for them to drink. And he survived. They didn't kill him. That's very surprising. They didn't kill the rabbi for pouring in ink into the well. So in the days of the Rishonim, the Mordechai calls days of the Rishonim, the Goyim used to throw the chametz into the well. So the Shaila is chametz, but Pesach is b'mashehu. If you took the water out from the well before Pesach and you filtered it out, so it's going to have a bliya, you're going to have way more than shishim. You filtered out all the bread, so you're going to have way more than shishim in the water. Against the tam of the chametz from the bread, So chametz kodem haPesach is batel b'shishim. So that would not be a problem. But if you draw water on Pesach from the well, and you see that it has the crumbs in it, it has the chametz in it, the chametz b'Pesach, on the yontav haPesach, the chametz is b'mashu. That's a chumer midirabbanan. The Gemara has m'sachem on daf lamed. So you shouldn't be able to drink the water. So the Rishonim say it's okay because in nesin tam levgam, the water would have tasted better if it wouldn't have had the crumbs of chametz mixed in. So that's a big machloikis, halacha lama, that's a fact. The chametz would have tasted better without the flavor from the bread. But it's a machloikis, and halacha is noisin tam legam mutter b'chametz b'pesach. Since chametz b'pesach is b'mashuhu, so maybe noisin tam legam is not more of a heta than mashuhu. What's the pshat in noisin tam legam? So that's a big machloikis in Rishonim, in Yerideya, they quote, Machlekes and Rishonim, how do you understand why Nesin Tam Labgam is Mutter? Is it because the Iser itself is really less than 50%? So it should have really been Batel Bereiv. But because the ingredient is Nesin Tam, it gives a flavor to the whole thing, you can taste it. So that's the din of Tam Kiker. Either Menatar or Rabban, there's a din of Tam Kiker. But if it's Nesin Tam Labgam, then the whole din of Tam Kiker doesn't apply. Then I say the Iser is Batel Bereiv because it's less than 50%. You start off by saying the Iser to start off with is less than 50%. But it's nice in Tam and Tam Ki Iker, either the Iser or the Rabbanan. But if it's Tam Levgam, the din of Tam Ki Iker doesn't apply. So I say it's Batel Bereiv. You say it like that, then nice in Tam Levgam boils down to a heter of Batel Bereiv. Chomis Pesach is B'mashu, so it's not Batel Bereiv. So that's how the Ramah paskins. If you have water in the well on Pesach, and you draw the water and you filter out all the crumbs and you throw them out, chametz b'pesach b'mashu, you can't drink it. And the mechaber paskins like the other rishonim, mechaber paskins chametz b'pesach is b'mashu, when there's in tam levgam is less than mashu. Why? You don't have to come on to bittel. So that's a machlekes a rishonim, machlekes the Rashbo and the Ran and Yeridei. What's the heter of there's in tam levgam based on? So the poshup shot is that it's less than 50% of the whole food to begin with, so it really should be batel bereiv. The only thing is nice and tam, so the nice and tam levgam, you don't say tam ki iker. The chiddush of tam ki iker doesn't apply, so you're left with batel bereiv. So chametz b'pesach, you don't say batel bereiv. And the other sheet is different. The other sheet is like this. If you have an iser be'en, I have the treif of salami, and I left it out of the refrigerator for a month. So it's not roi l'achila sodom, so then it's heter gomer. That's not based on bittel bereiv. Neveilu sheni roi lager, it's learned from the pasuk. Lager shav shvachet tentanav achol, and neveilu sheni roi lager, ain't a kuri neveilu. So if the treif of food is nifsam achila sodom, it's mutter, even though it's b'yen. If you have an isa that's only b'tarubis, definition of tarubis means a roi heter and a miyot isa, and it's ain't a niker, If it's nikkur, so it's not called a tarubis. Let's say I have ice cream and they pour the chazer schmaltz on top of the ice cream, and the coating on top. So there's no tarugs over there. The chazer is bien and the ice cream is bien. If they mixed everything together and you can't separate it, and it's less than 50% iser, Rav had the mi odisa and zayin anikar, the iser is zayin anikar, so that's called the tarugs. So the other Rishonim say, when you have, the Rashba says, and Nois and Tam Levagam is based on Bitl B'Rav. And the Ran disagrees, he quotes the Rashba and he disagrees, he says, you don't need Bitl B'Rav. Whenever you have an Isa that's B'Tarubis, then the shear, the degree of Nifsal, isn't as Chomer. If you have the Isa, you have a piece of Nevela meat, then you need, it should be Nifsal, until it's anyway Lachila Sodom. But if it's, the Isa is only Aydei Tarubis, so then if it's Pogam and Mikzas, it's already enough. Pagam Purta is already enough to say that it's Hetagoma. You don't even have to base it on Bitla B'Rav. So that's the Machlekes of Rishonim, is Machlekes between the Mechabed and Ramah. In the Hilos Pesach, if you draw the water on Pesach, and it turns out that it has Chometz in it, and the Chometz is Pogam, the water would have tasted fresher, would have tasted better, without the Sagi Chometz in it. And you take out all the Chometz. So the Mechabah holds that as mutter, because the heter of Nais and Tam Levgam is not based on Bitl B'Rav. And the Ramah Paskin is the other way. No, it is based on Bitl B'Rav. So fine, so the Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. But even if you assume like the Rabbah, that Nais and Tam Levgam is also the Pesach, what would you say? This happens every year. The wife goes away on Chol HaMoed, shopping spree, whatever, and the husband is left home, all by himself, and he forgot that it's Pesach, so he takes out a chametz dika pot, and he cooks something in the pot. He takes out, let's say, a spaghetti pot, and he cooks water in order to make coffee or tea. So he takes out the spaghetti pot, hasn't been used for spaghetti for the last couple of days. It's more than 24 hours since it was used for spaghetti. So the bli of spaghetti that's going to be in the water now is Eina Ben Yoimai. So Eina Ben Yoimai is Nosin Tam Lev Gam. There are more paskins that Nosin Tam Lev Gam is also even B'Di'Eved, on Pesach, because it's based on Bitl. But the question is, this is a different kind of Nois and Tam Logam. This is not necessarily the same. Why is Eina Ben Yomai called? Why is the Gemara called Eina Ben Yomai? A Klish Eina Ben Yomai. Why is the Gemara called Nois and Tam Logam? Is it because whatever you're going to cook in the pot now would have tasted better if it wouldn't have been blended in with the flavor that has the metallic taste of the Charsas Hakdera, would have tasted better? It's the same as the regular Nois and Tam Logam. It's Pogam and Mikzas, so it's Bottle B'Rav, the whole story. Then the Ramah should ask B'Di'Eved. Or should I say no? A cliche in a Ben Yoimai, according to the Ra'wa and the Berak Abayis, the Trefa B'Liya, the Chomz Diga B'Liya, and the cliche in a Ben Yoimai, it's considered Nefsimacher. The Chasis Hakter works on it. It's sitting with the flavor of the Metla, flavor of the Klicheres. It does a job on the Tom of the Chometz. It makes it Nefsimacher Los Adam. So that should be mutter even the Pesach. That's not based on, let's say you have chametz that's been sitting around for 5 years and it tastes awful. If anybody believes it tastes awful, not Roy Lachilo Sodom. Not Roy Lachilo Sodom. So strictly speaking, should be mutter. Not Roy Lachilo, should be mutter. So if it's Poikim and Mitz, if it's only an Israel Day Tarubis and it's had to go with that Beetle Beroiv, then that kind of Nesim Tam Lagam should be mutter on Pesach. So the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say what the din is. Ramah Shulchan Aruch only talks about the Nois and Tam Lev Gam. Doesn't talk about cooking in a cliche in a Ben Yomai. He only talks about if you find bread in the water, that kind of Nois and Tam Lev Gam. But the Mishnah Brura quotes that the Ramah who wrote a commentary on the Tur, that's called the Darkei Moshe, on the bottom of the page in the Tur. Ramah wrote a whole, the Ramah didn't have the Beis Yosef. Ramah lived in Krakow, in Poland. Rabbi Yisachar lived in Eretz on Tzfat, they said they were contemporaries. They lived the same time. So they both had the tour, and they both wrote commentaries on the tour. So then the Ramah wrote a long commentary that's called Darkei Moshe. Then when he got a copy of the Beis Yosef, so he saw that much of what he printed already is a duplication of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef became very popular. So what are they going to read his Sefer? So he abridged the Darkei Moshe. So we have two editions. You have the Darkei Moshe Ha'oruch, the original edition of the Darkei Moshe that was printed. And then you have the abridged version that's printed in all the standard editions now. So every so often when the Ramah abridged the Darkei Moshe, there's something very important that he left out. He he didn't do such a good job at abridging. Not everything that he left out, the second printing, is a repeat from the Beis Yosef. So here the Ramah left this out. Ramah in the Darkei Moshe on the tour, the Ramah writes, every so often there's something important, and the Darkei Moshe Aruch that was left out in the later edition. So the Ramah writes in the Darkei Moshe that if you cook water in a spaghetti pot, Eina ben Yoimai, on Pesach, it asses b'dievin. His chumra of Nosen Tam Lav Gam is based on Bitl Beroiv, not only applies when you mix in an ingredient, you have bread in the water, mix an ingredient, that's Pergam and Mixas, it even applies when the Kli is in Eina ben Yoimai. In other words, he's not adopting the position of the Ra'or, that a treif of Bli and a Kli that's sitting there for 24 hours in Zivsam Achilas Adam. He doesn't hold like that. He holds that it's Roy Lachilas Adam, but it's Pogam and Mikzas. And since the Bliya is Bottle Bereif, so it's relying on Bittle Bereif. Chomis Bepesach is Bemashav, so you don't say Bittle Bereif. So we're Machmer on that. So that is, those are the two kinds of Nos and Tam Gam. So let's go back again. We had a shaila. I think that's the last thing that I mentioned yesterday. What if I have a tray for kli? I have a tray for knife. She'ena ben yom. I used it 100 times. I used the knife 100 times with treifus. 2 out of 100 times I used it. Al gabi hoish. Mamsh turn over the meat. Al gabi hoish. B'liam tzos amayim. There's no liquid there, and it's mamsh literally on top of the fire. So if I would have only used the knife once, al gabi hesh, I would need libun. I used it twice, so for sure I should need libun. But in addition to using it twice, al gabi hesh, I used it 98 times on the table to cut the tray for meat on the table. So that's a machlekes, not an atas, that's machlekes. It says on the side of the chesam and aleph, and the end of the tesis says, I know tesis of it, Zora, I involved on the base, Yiba Masla Omar. So the tesis there quotes this, as the Machlekes Rivo and the Rabbeinu Tam. If I'm kashering the treifa knife when it's still a ben yomo, I need libun, because I used it today for al gabi hoesh, so I need libun. Question is, I'm kashering the knife when it's ain't a ben yomo. And ain't a ben yomo, you only have to kasher with the Rabbanim. Zera ain't a ben yomo, ata ben yomo. And when I used it for treifas, I used it 100 times. Ruba de Ruba, 98 out of 100 times I used it on the table, not Agabi Hoesh, so it would be sufficient with Agola, but 2 out of 100 times I used it Agabi Hoesh. So do you say that since you once used it Agabi Hoesh, you need Libun? So even if it's Eina ben Yom, you need Libun. That's one opinion of Tosis. And the Rabbi Natam, I think, is Mekel. He says, no. You're talking the Kli is Eina ben Yom to begin with him, and I tell you, you don't have to kashiv at all. The whole reason why you have to kashmir Rabban Gzer Eina ben Yomo, Oto ben Yomo, so if Ruba de Ruba, everybody knows that 98% of the time I used the treifa knife in such a way that it really would have been sufficient with Hagala, even though twice I used it in such a way, Al Gabi Hoesh, that you really shouldn't require Libun. But it's Eina ben Yomo, so I'm going to tell you, you don't need anything. You're talking with the Rabban, you're talking people who make a mistake. They'll see me doing Hagolah, so they'll think even when it's a Ben Yom, you can do Hagolah. Nah, everybody knows 98% of the time, Ruba de Ruba, this is a table knife. It's not a knife that's miyuchad to use al gabi hoesh. It's a knife that's miyuchad to use for the table. So the whole idea of kashering kelim, that ain't a Ben Yomo, is sort of a marisayin. Gzeira ain't a Ben Yomo, to Ben Yomo. But if Ruba de Ruba, it was used in such a way, shalei al gabi hoesh, that it would have been sufficient with Hagola, so it should be enough with Hagola. So that's a machlokes. The last tesis, I think, in Avodah Zarah has this machlokes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivo. In Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlokes, Mechaber and the Ramah again. So the Mechaber goes lehokel that if you're doing the kashering on the treif kli when it's in a ben yomo, and Ruba de Ruba was used in for treifas in a fashion that it would have been sufficient with Hagolah, and only a miut of the times it was used in a way that you should really need Libun, so you don't have to do Libun. The Ramah is machmer that you don't go basar roif tashmishay, but the Ramah appears in Hilchas Pesach. The Ramah is not near a day chelik base. When they talk about Hagol and Levi, the Ramah is in Hilchas Pesach. So that doesn't prove anything. Because in Hilchas Pesach, the Ramah l'shitasay paskins that if you cooked water in a spaghetti pot, then saying the Ben Yom, but the water is also b'di'evin. Ramah paskins not only, Ramah paskins are both Nois and Tamil of Gam, that are asas b'di'evin. Both the Nois and Tamil of Gam, where they're going throwing the bread into the water, the bread is soaking there, kovish, the bread is soaking the water more than 24 hours, and you're taking it out in the middle of Pesach, so we say that's a mashahu. And even in the case where you, in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, that's all he says, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe, who added on more. Even if you cook water in a chametz dika kli she'eina ben yomo, I cook the water for coffee or tea in a spaghetti pot, eina ben yomo. So Ramah is machmar not b'di'evin, makes straight. Because both kinds of nos and tam levgam are considered based on bitl b'roif. They start off with bitl b'roif. Chametz b'Pesach is b'mashim. So this whole idea that you go b'saroif tashmisha, the whole machlokes between the Rivo and the Rabbeinu Tam and the last Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the very last Talmud in Avodah Zarah, whole machlokes only is if you kasher in the kli when it's ena ben yomo, and min haTorah you don't have to kasher it at all. The whole need for kashering is only with the Rabbanan. So then there's room to discuss maybe rov tashmisha. Maybe it's enough if you do the Hagolah, because that's a rov tashmisha. But if Chametz b'Pesach is even Eina Ben Yomo, so there's no room to be Mekel Eina Ben Yomo more than Ben Yomo. So the Ramah paskins it asas b'di'evin. What would the Ramah say by other cases, by a treifah pot, not Chametz b'Pesach, which is b'mashal? What would the Ramah say in a different case of Chazer Shmaltz or something? Would he say that you go basar roif tashmisha? It could be that it would be Mekel. It could be the Ramah's only Machmer in Hilchas Pesach. In the second Chelik Yeridei, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say too much about Hagol and Liba. Just says we explained everything in Hilchas Pesach. And Hilchas Pesach is not always the same, because by Pesach we say Chametz, by Pesach is by Mashu. So maybe the Psak HaRamah that you don't go b'Saroif Tashmisha is only applicable in Hilchas Pesach, because the whole Kula that some Balei HaTos wanted to say it's sufficient to do Hagol, if that's the Roif Tashmisha. That whole kula only applies when the kli is ena ben yomo. So the whole need for hagol is only with the rabbon. But if you say chometz ena ben yomo asas b'di'evid, so there's no tzad lahakal over there. At the end of the Tosfos here is a different issue. Rabbi Natam our Tosfos. Rabbi Natam haya oimer the last 8-9 lines in the Tosfos. Rabbi Natam haya oimer. Gave in the Erika Tashmisha and Lakacha. What's the case? What's he talking about? Lachama. The line begins before the Bahasakinim Yishanim, old knives. Sha'onu lo chimin of the Lachama. Buy an old knife that was used by a Nochri for many years. So it has a lot of blias of trade. Oy Mahari ben Harab ben Meir, Shetzichim Libun, Wamimne Shadach of the Lachama. Years ago, they used to make candles from chelav. Now they make it from wax. But years ago, they used to make candles from chelav. So chelav is treif. Chelav is also b'chelav, mutabano. So sometimes they would use the knife to fix the candle while it was burning. So it has a blia b'chamin, al yidei ha'esh. I'm sticking the cushion, I'm sticking the guy will stick the knife that he used to cut the tray for the chicken on the plate. They use the same knife. He's not going to use the knife to turn over the meat on top of the fire. It's not a big enough knife. It's a table knife. It's not big enough, but it is big enough to fix the tray for candle on the table. The candle is made from chelev. They used to have sometimes a candle was made from chelev and they wanted it to look white. So they would pour it milk. So then when you would light the candle, you're cooking basar b'chol. That's in Yeridei, they're talking about that. You're cooking basar b'chol, but the basar b'chol was already cooked. When the goyim manufactured the candles, they already cooked the chela with the milk. So that's a shayla bishul achabishul and basar b'chol. But it already became basar b'chol. Is there an issa bishul achabishul to recook basar b'chol? The din on Shabbos is a din. Ain bishul achabishul. Maybe that means for the definition of bishul on Shabbos, bishul means to take food that's not roi l'achila, you make it roi l'achila. But for bishul basa b'chol, maybe even the bishul sheni will be nisa derais. Maybe that klal and bishul acha bishul is only a detail in Hilchos Shabbos, because Shabbos you need melechas machshevas hasrata, you have to accomplish something. But if the food already is roi l'achila, take it out of the refrigerator, reheat it, maybe that's a lack of melechas machshevas. But by bishul basa b'chol, you don't need melechas machshevas. So that's a big shaila on the level of the raisa. What's the definition of the isa bishul basa b'chol? It doesn't mean not to create basa b'chol. The goyim already made it as basa b'chol. They cook the chela with the milk together. They put in the milk that it should look pretty. It should look white. They don't want it to look like chela. So maybe the prohibition of basa b'chol is don't create bishul basa b'chol. Mean don't create basa b'chol. But it already was created. The guy made the candle already. Or do you say, no, there's an Issa Bishul Basa B'chol. Even if you're not creating it. And maybe you shouldn't say that's a discussion, and when you learn Yeridaya, that's a discussion in the Mefarshim. Whether there's an Issa Bishul Basa B'chol. Anyway, this is not talking about the Basa B'chol of Angus, it's talking the Chalev. The candle had Chalev in it, and the guy, when he's eating on the table, this little knife that they use for cutting the meat on the plate, they're not going to use it to turn over the meat on the broiler, but they may use it to fix the candle that's burning on the top. They didn't have electric lights. That chalev candles. So it's, the chalev is burning hot, and there's a fire there, and there's no mashkim here, there's no reuters, and the chalev is melted, and he sticks in the knife in order to fix it. So the Ri says, happens, l'sakam behem ner, shedolik behem chalev. And once in a while, maybe mahapchem behem boso agabi gachon. Maybe once in a long while, maybe they'll even turn over the meat on top of the broiler. So since there is such a possibility, so therefore you need, even though that's the miut tashmisha, the rav tashmisha is to cut the meat on the plate. So for that, it's not agabi esha. For that, it would have been sufficient with hagoli. Wouldn't have needed libun. But there is a possibility that maybe they used it for treifis agabi hoesh, agabi gacholim. Basar gabi cholim, or the chelov in the candle. So, Rabbi Natam haya oimer. So the Tosfos in the end of Avodah Zarah says you go basar roif tashmisha. If it's ain't a ben yom, you have a right to go basar roif tashmisha. Here Tosfos says a different way. Rabbi Natam haya oimer came in the ainik at tashmisha lekach loichashin and dilma es rabbi ve'overho. You don't have to be concerned about it because the odds are that it didn't happen. It's a different word. There in Avodah Zarah, Tosfos says, even if you know that it happened, 98% of the time you use the Shalal Gabesh, 2% of the time you know the Vada, you did use it on Gabesh, you still make it. Our Tosfos doesn't quote that part of the Rabbi Natan. He quotes, since Ruba de Ruba, you don't do that, you don't have to be concerned that that's what happened. And then he says, then he doesn't say you go Basar Rav Tashmisha. The end of Avodah Zarah says that. Here he says a different argument. Even if it did happen, still sagi bahagol. It doesn't say because ain't a b'yom is only the rabbanon. Doesn't say that hezbar. What he says in the end of Avodah Zarah, says a different word. Sagi dehagol kol mashe sofa liflot aydei roschim polit bahagol mishayne. What are you afraid of over here? You're going to do hagola on the knife. And what are you going to use the knife for later, after you do the Hagolah? You're not going to use the knife al gabhesh. This is a table knife. You're going to use it to cut meat on the table. So he says, since when you cut meat on the table, the bli yashalo al gabhesh, the fire is not here. The fire was in the oven. Fire was in the broiler. There's no fire on the table. So using it on the table, if you do Hagolah, that's sufficient. Whatever will come out, whenever you do Hagol on a kli that needs libun, most of the bli will come out. A little bli will remain. So I said, most of the bli will come out if you're going to, after you do the Hagolah, no more bli will come out when you're going to use the knife to cut the meat on the table. I'm buying the knife from the goy and I'm going to kasher it. So I'm going to do, I don't plan to use it. Al gabi hoesh. I'm not going to use it al gabi hoesh in a fashion that you need libun. So that argument that Rabbi Natan says, so the Baal HaTosfos say that's not so compelling. It's not such a compelling argument, because maybe it'll continue to be mafle treifus when you're cutting the meat on the table. But the Tosfos and Rabbi Zohar gave a different reason why the Rabbi Natam argues with this sheet there. It says it's the Reb Ben HaRabba Ben HaMeir. There they quote a different region, the Revo. He said, Rabbi Natam holds that they go Basar Rav Tashmishai. If it's Zaina Ben Yoma, if it's Ben Yoma, you can't go Basar Rav Tashmishai. Zaina Ben Yoma, the whole, so the whole need for kashering is only with the Rabbanon. So Mishum Mari saying, Zaina Ben Yoma, Ata Ben Yoma, so I must speak if you go Basar Rav Tashmishai. Okay, every line in Tosfos is important here. This is all quoted. Everything here is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Okay.
Steer in
Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know a steer. He has a different. All the explanations are correct. That's one reason, another reason, and another reason. So even if you don't like this reason, because maybe it'll continue to be maflit, so he has the other reason. You go basurayf tashmisha. Okay. First he says you don't have to be concerned about it. Then he says even if you know for sure that it happened, also you don't have to worry about it. So on that he gave two explanations why. Either because he got Basar Rav Tashmisha, or because of this, Kol Mashi Yiftlot will be Niflat Al Yidei the Hagola. Yeah. Yeah, so how far did we get on Amid Beis? Itmar. Okay, we got up to the sixth line from the top. Itmar. What's the din? Ashecha B'sakn Shalov De Kachovim. He takes a treifa knife that the Goyim used for years, so it has a beli of treifas, and he shechts a behema with it. So the shaila is, what do you have to do to the neck of the animal? The rest of the kosher animal that you shechted properly, it's a good shechita. The shaila is that the treifas, the knife has chazer shmaltz on the outside, has a bli of chazer shmaltz in the metal of the knife. So what do you do with that, with respect to the animal that you just shechted? So Rav Amar Kolef, Rav says you have to cut off the outer layer of the neck, because it was balea trefis from the trefa knife. Because the neck is so hot that it's balea the trefis. And Rabbi Baba Chana disagrees. He says, medich, just wash off the neck. Just have to wash it off to remove whatever trefis schmaltz may possibly be bien. But you don't say that there's a blea of trefis in the outer layer, the first layer of the neck, where he did the shechita. So the Gemara says, what exactly are they fighting about? Lema b'hokamer fligi. It seems that this is exactly the machlokes. Ma'asava beis hashchita tzayin, ma'asava beis hashchita v'sech. That's the machlokes. How hot does the neck get? The neck, because of the blood that gushes out, so the temperature rises an awful lot, much higher than it normally is. And that's what the Shmir Shabbos Chosid quotes. They tested it, and I think in the geese is the hottest. It becomes 113. So that's the shaila. Is 113, is that called Yatzolenis? Or is that Tzainin? Below Yatzolenis. If it's below Yatzolenis, then there's no blia. There's a blia b'tzainin only if it's kovish 24 hours in a liquid, or if it's maliach. Here there is no maliach. And if it's v'tzeach, then there's a blia. So that's when the Gemara says, Lema, should I say b'hokam afligi, whether beis hashchita tzainin, beis hashchita v'tzainin. The Gemara says, loy, not necessarily correct. Perhaps someone can say the kuliyam beis hashchita resechu. You can say everybody agrees that 113 degrees is yatzaledes. We don't pass like that. Maybe everybody holds it's yatzaledes. Manam a kolev shapa. The one who said you have to cut off a kadei klipa because it has a bli of the treifas because it's balea bechamen. He should be right, shapa. He makes sense. Manam a meidiach. How come there was another opinion? Just wash off the treifas shmaltz. It wasn't nivla. And for the Gemara, when you cut the neck of the animal and you kill it, there's going to be such a gush of blood. There's going to be so much blood coming out. I did the treaty simanim la puke dam the simanim adikana nevesha. So much dam coming out like bali. They don't have the ability to be balea. Since they're being maflit, they don't have the ability to be balea. Interesting idea. Later on, there's a Tosfos asked Akasha, whenever you do Hagola, how does Hagola help? Let's say I have a treifa knife. I hold the treifa knife in burning hot water, so the treifa blia goes into the water. What's to prevent the treifa blia from coming back from the water into the knife? So Tosfos recommends you should always have shishim. If you have a knife that's treif, have a pot so much water that when the bliyam, the treif and knife goes into the water, it'll be batel b'shishim. So before it comes back, then nothing will prevent it from coming back. But it'll be batel b'shishim before it comes back in. So it won't be nice and tam in the knife when it re-enters into the knife. It won't be able to be nice and tam because it already was batel b'shishim. Either that, or do the hagolah when it's ein ben yomo. What will that help? If you do hagolah when it's ein ben yomo, so minatar, you don't have to do hagolah. It's only the rabbanic gzeira ein ben yomo at the ben yomo. So they only made the chumrah of gzeira ein ben yomo at the ben yomo if I have a kli that became treif, because I cooked treif ham and eggs here. I cooked pork and beans in this pot. I cooked treifas. At the time that I cooked it, it was nice and tam neshvach. But because it sat in the kedera, the bliya sat in the charsa sakler for 24 hours, it changed to become nice and tam lavigam. It became masriya. So there is exera de rabbana. But have the knife that originally was balea nice and tam neshvach. And now the bliya became nice and tam lavigam sitting there. Now I do hagola. So the whole tray for bliya goes into the water, then it comes back. There's nothing to prevent it from coming back in. But now, tchilas habliya is going to be lavigam. When it comes back in, it's going to be Livgam. If the Tchilas HaBliya Livgam, the Chachamim will never go there. The only goes there, if you cook treifas in a pot, the Tchilas HaBliya was Lishvach. So even though 24 hours went by, and now the Bliya in the pot is Eina Ben Yom, is Nes and Tam Livgam, that's what they made Xer, Eina Ben Yom, Ota Ben Yom. But once you do Hagola on the cliche Eina Ben Yom, the whole treif of Bliya goes into the water, Taka, there's nothing preventing it from coming back into the Kli, but not Tchilas HaBliya will be Livgam. Tchilas HaBliya Livgam will never, they will never machmer. So that's what Tosis writes later in the Masechta. Whenever you want to do Hagola on a Treif apart, how does the Hagola help? What's going to prevent the Treif of Bliya when it goes from the Treif of Kli into the water? What's going to prevent it from coming back in? So it's Anacharami, nothing will prevent it. It'll come back in. You either have to have that the Treif of Kli should be Eina Ben Yomo, or you need shishim in the water connected the kli. So then they called a balatosis, came up with a different answer based on this gemara. He says, since the pot, the treifa pot, is busy spitting out the treifa bliya into the water, I did the torid lemiflat. Since it's busy, it's exhausted, it's working hard to spit out the treifa bliya into the water, so it cannot be bolea back the treifa bliya that it just spit out. The Tosfos says, what? What, the pot has Ruach HaKodesh? To know that it can only be Balea. If there's other things in the water, it will be Balea. Only the treif of Leah that is spit out, it can't be Balea back. Where'd they get that idea from? The Tosfos makes fun of that answer. So we don't accept that answer. We say in Shulchan Aruch, it says, whenever you want to do a Hagola on a treif of Kli, you have to either see to it that you should have Shishim in the water, connected the whole Kli, or see to it that the treif of Kli should be Eina Ben Yomo. So even though there's nothing to prevent the bliya from coming back into the treif of pot, making a treif again, but it'll be tchilas habliya levgam. If it's ein ben yoma, it'll be tchilas habliya levgam. Or it'll be batel b'shishim already before it comes back in. But the other answer, I did the tard lemiflat lo bala, since it just spit out that tam, it's not going to be balea back the tam. We don't accept that opinion. Where is that tesis? Anybody remember? Davkuf ches on the base. Shenofel, that's it. Diva Maschel Shenofel. So that's what we paskin. Yeah, this Gemara doesn't apply. Our Gemara over here is a different. Tosfos has that. That's quoted in your every day. That Tosfos quoted in your every day. Whenever you do Hagolah. That's why there's a minik for by Ashkenazim. There's a minik. You always avoid doing hagol on a pot while it's still a ben yomo, because you're going to have to calculate to make sure you have shishim, and you may miscalculate, you may guess wrong. So you always avoid unless you have a big shas atrak. You got no choice. Okay, so then you do hagol even when it's a ben yomo. But under normal circumstances, when there's no big shas atrak, we avoid doing a hagol on a pot that's a ben yomo. See, here the Gemara is talking, it's a different story here. When you're shechting the kosher chicken with the treifa knife, the chicken is giving off so much blood from the neck. The carnivation, I did really say, Marim, the miflat, The Kana Nevesha, the two simanim that you cut, are gushing forth a ton of blood, so it's pushing everything away. That'll prevent the neck from being balea from the trefa knife. He used a knife that belonged to a goy, which was used with trefas for many years, and it has trefas on the surface. So the Gemara said, even if you're based on Shechita Roseach, that maybe I didn't treat the Miflat Loibol. And then the Gemara said, Menika the Amri, and the third suggestion, the first suggestion was that the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Bar Bochan is whether based on Shechita Tzoynen or based on Shechita Roseach. Second suggestion was no. Kuli Alma, maybe everybody believes, everybody thinks based on Shechita is Roseach. 113 degrees, they had no thermometer, they had no way to figure out how many degrees it is. Now we can figure it out. So maybe everybody agrees how the 13 is Yatzoletis. But the Machlokes is Yatzoletis, so it should be Balea. So you should have to cut off Kadei Klipa. But maybe since so much blood is gushing out, I didn't treat these Simanim, Lapuke Dam, maybe it's not Balea, that prevents a Balea. And Ikadiyami, a third suggestion is, it's not clear, what were they fighting about, Rav and Rabbi Baruch Hanan? Third suggestion is, the Kuli Amma Reis HaShchit Etzainen. Everybody holds that 113 degrees is not Yatzoletis. And anything below Yatzalet, this is called Tzainim. It's not, Tzainim usually means cold. It's not cold in the refrigerator. It's below Yatzalet, this is considered Tzainim Alpidin. So why is it that there's one opinion, the one that says just wash off the neck, no problem, wash off and remove all of the chazer schmaltz that was on the surface. How come there's one opinion that there is a blia, that you have to cut off the kadei klipa, and you cut the neck of the animal over here. You have to cut off the clip on the right side, the clip on the left side. You have to cut off a tiny little bit. Why? And for the Gemara, Agav, the answer is, Agav duch kira sakina bola. Tzenudin. When you're cutting with a knife, see, placing pressure, you're cutting. So that's duch kira sakina. So if you have duch kira sakina, even though it's tzainan, it's boleya. Wow. So what if I have a milchik fork and I stick a milchik fork into a salami? So duch kira sakina, so it's balea. No heat at all. No heat at all. Is that true? Duch kira sakina makes a balea. What if I have a trefa fork? I stick the trefa fork into a salami. So there's a duch kira sakina. If I stick a trefa spoon in soup, there's no duch kira sakina. It's mushing around. It's a liquid. But if I stick it into something that's hard, into a solid thing, whenever you have a duchkin and sakin, there's a bliya. So Tosis quotes, Agav duchkin and sakin, the second Tosis, they quote that there was one Bala Tosis who said like that if you have a treif, a knife, and you just have duchkin and sakin, we're machma like that opinion, then it makes a bliya. And Tosis says that the common practice is absolutely not so. The minig is not like he said. And how do you justify the minig? Isn't he right, Rabbi Ben Yitzchak, Rabbi Meir? Isn't he right? The Gemara says, Duch kira sakina, even though Beis HaShechita is tzoynen. Beis HaShechita is not tzoynen, it's not cold from the refrigerator. It's pretty warm, it's 113 degrees, it's close to Yatzoletis. It's not enough. So if you have a tziruf, a little this and a little that, you have a little Duch kira sakina with a little Beis HaShechita, karev to be Raseach, so the tziruf of both together makes a trip. That's what Taisa says. That's the way they defend the minig ha'olam, not to follow. Yeshlim tzatam al minig shalon shenogel ha'kel. How do we justify our minig? We don't say duch kira sakina all the time. So they say, if dilma beis hashchita davke shereseach ktsas, we don't accept the shita that beis hashchita reseach is always above, always below yatzaletis, but it is warm, it's close to yatzaletis. So if you have a tzir of beis hashchita a little bit, plus duch kira sakina, that makes a bliya. But just have duch kira sakina alone, that's not enough to make a bliya. But if you have a dove charef, then it is enough. That's a gemara later. That's so take. Let's say you have a tray for salami. You have a tray for salami, and you stick in a tray for fork or a tray for knife, and the salami is very sharp. So then, if you have a tzir of duch kira sakina, just like duch kira sakina plus resech tzas, so if you have duch kira sakina plus davar charif, it also makes a bliya. That's the end of the tesis. Yonah v'perak al abasa, tzinon, a radish, shechotcha b'sakan shal basar, also loch lebekutach, why agav churifa ditznon, Yabduch kirisakina plus dovachorif. But if you only have dovachorif alone, and you put in a spoon, let's say you have some very sharp soup with has a lot of spices in it, and you stir it with let's say it's cold. Let's say cold soup, ready cooled down, and you're mixing it with a milchik spoon. There's no duchkir sakina, so just davacharif alone doesn't make a bli. After duchkir sakina with davacharif, it's ending over here. If you have duchkir sakina plus beis hashchita reseach b'miktzas, combination of both together makes a bli. Okay, we gotta read the top tesis tomorrow. Bli nana.
What's reseach b'miktzas? Let's say you have a warm pizza on it.
Little warm, yeah. It's a little warm.
How warm is it?
Did I announce? Tomorrow morning I have to start shiur at 9 o'clock because I have to leave at 10 after 10. So try to come on time. Try to come early tomorrow. Okay?